Children ages 4 to 11, we have History Makers at the back door. You're dismissed. You can go. Go back there with Miss Katie. Look, she's got them. We've been talking about the shame-free gospel, and I just wanted to say that, actually, before we do that. I loved what Patrick had to say about that first psalm, because it really is all about joy. And, we let joy arise, and for some people it's hard to let joy arise, right? Especially depending on your history, your past, your training, who you are. Sometimes it's hard. And I was just totally shocked. I was talking to Carl Ann, and I saw Donald and Mr. Turner walk in the back door. You don't know this, Mr. Turner, but these people here have heard of you. Yeah, him. That's him right there. So, he's usually doing push-ups or running marathons. I don't know, all this stuff. But y'all have heard me talk about my friend Danny Turner. Danny really, gosh, worship was hard because I keep thinking about it. I usually don't think about Danny much, but I do mention him without emotion most of the time. But I remember when I was in college, I was playing football at Monticello and living in hell, that I fit right in with that culture. And I was as mean as a skunk yard dog and fit right in. And Danny, God love him, Donald, that's Donald, his little brother, who's not little anymore. Danny was going to Wichita Baptist University. And Danny and I had been friends since I moved to Cabot, best friends really. And but Danny found Jesus. I mean, he was already a Christian, but he found Jesus at Wichita, and he got filled with joy. I don't know what happened to him. He drove me nuts. I told y'all how he drove me nuts. We were in a athletic dormitory, which was not a pleasant place. I'm sure there were Christians around, but I just didn't know any. But Danny would call me every Saturday morning on the phone down in the lobby of the dormitory, because nobody had phones, right? And I'd get this phone call from Danny, and we'd talk about stuff, right? Every week he'd call me. And when he discovered Jesus and found joy, that crazy guy would say he loved me at the end of every phone call. It'd make me so mad that I'd cuss and hang up on him. What's telling me he loved me? Nobody said I love you, right? What? And so, but what happened was, as the weeks passed and the weeks passed, I mean, we were friends. He called me every Saturday morning. I got to sort of looking forward to the phone call. I'd never admitted it to Danny, but he'd say he loved me. And I knew something changed about him. I didn't know. And then when he was a huge influence, Mr. Turner, on me giving my life to God, and the last 40 years of my life, right, 42 years really, Danny influenced my decision to follow the Lord. And I remember I instantly went to college. I went to Oklahoma Baptist University because I couldn't go to Wichita Baptist University because I'd partied there too much and I didn't think I'd make it. So I had to get away from my party friends. So I went to Oklahoma Baptist University, and I meet Jeannie, and I was trying to decide. I didn't know, Mr. Turner, you probably don't know this. I was trying to decide if I should ask Jeannie to marry me. I mean, we had one date, and that was plenty, I thought. And so I didn't trust myself, so I asked Danny to come to Shawnee, Oklahoma, to meet Jeannie, because I figured Danny was a mature Christian, right? He had been a Christian for 2 years, and maybe three or four, I don't know. And so he was coaching that year. He'd got his first head coaching job, and he came to Shawnee, Oklahoma, and he met Jeannie, and he said she'd be a good one. So I asked her to marry me, and thank you, Danny. And I named our oldest son Daniel after Danny, and Then Danny got in a car wreck and passed away. And that was, broke me, just broke me. And I think broke a lot of people. Danny loved. And I remember when he came to that weekend to meet Jeannie. And, of course, I'm a youth pastor at the First Baptist Church in Cushing, Oklahoma, which was a really wealthy, traditional program. You know, it was like crazy. I had to wear a suit and a tie every Sunday, every service. And it was all just very regimented. They had a great choir, and it was all professional. And Danny sits by me out, like, on the third row, crazy nut, and Danny believed that. He started worshiping God and embarrassed the heck out of me right in front of all my friends and my boss. He's like, we're singing hymn 248. Was that the hymn? I don't know if that was the one or not. We're singing 248. And Danny's like filled with joy and raising his hands and shouting and laughing and praising God. And the only one, there's probably 500 people in the room, the only one was my friend Danny, my special friend. I told him he had a mental problem and that he was okay. That was Danny. So this is thank you, Donald, for bringing your dad. And I haven't seen him in 40 years. And good man. Without him, there wouldn't be any Danny. And you know, you don't know, guys. All Danny did when he was in college, I mean, we just talked about stupid stuff like you do when you're in college and you're guys, right? But him having joy and saying, I love you, changed my life. 42 years later, I am who I am today because of a crazy nut named Danny Turner, who had no more sense than to worship God like he loved him and didn't care if anybody was watching. And he put me on this path. You know, being saved means a lot more than just not going to hell. It means so much more. It means the world. You know, as we've been talking about the gospel, I really want us to see this today. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And all I knew was a salvation that didn't go to hell. I didn't know a salvation that filled you with joy. I didn't know a salvation that set you free from bondage. I didn't know a salvation that transformed you from the inside out, like Patrick read that verse. I didn't know that kind of salvation. I didn't realize there was a way to be happy even when nobody else was happy. There was something greater than anything we all face. And so I do know that being saved is a big deal. You know, here's another verse for you. You think it's not a big deal. Jesus said this in Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. I used to read that as a threat, that if you didn't obey God, you're not going to heaven. And I didn't want to go to hell. Do you want to go to hell? No. Now I read that. And I've read a little bit more of Scripture. Do you know what the will of the Father is? To be one with His precious sons and daughters. To fill us with life. To transform our minds. To set us free from bondage. That's what His will is. It's good. Many of you will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in Your name and in Your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Listen, I don't want to miss it, do you? But it's not, I don't want to just miss going to heaven. I don't want to miss being free. When I knew Danny, when he was calling me and saying he loved me, I was so consumed with rage and anger, it was my life. I was not to be trusted. Everyone was a pawn to be used for my pleasure. You see, a lot of the world lives like that today, don't they? They don't care about you. They just want to be happy. And there was this crazy nut named Turner who would call me, and there was something different about him. And it took me 4 or 5 years. I don't remember. I think it was 4 or 5 years later before I gave my life to God. 4 or 5 years passed. But guys, I want to tell you, there's something that happens. Being saved, you know what being saved means? It means everything. And it's not just in heaven, it's here on earth. You see, when you lose someone, you know, Yeah. Maybe I never dealt with losing Danny until Danny and Mr. Turner and Donald showed up. But when you lose someone, who's going to get you through that? That's what being saved is. Who helps you when you have loss? Who helps you when you're broken? You know, I wrote these things down. What does it mean when you live in chronic pain to be saved? When you have something in your life, pain that goes on and on and on and on and on, when things are hard, what does being saved mean then? It's salvation. It's why Jesus came to the world, was to save us. But not just in heaven, but now, today, on earth, in this time and age. When you've lived a long time, you know, I think about this, because I hope you guys are praying for the Putts, Max and Stephanie and Scott Putt, and I forgot his brother's name. Yeah, Reese, I couldn't think of it. They're going through a long battle with cancer. They need God's salvation every day to face that battle. What does being saved means when you're in that? What about when you're making decisions about your future, your career, your education? What you need to be saved when you're making those kinds of decisions? You need help all the time. What about when you've lived a long time and you look back on your life and it's not what you pictured it to be? What does salvation look like for you? You know, I believe Jesus wants us to live in a way that we never look back on our lives with regret. I'm not saying it's not hard. I'm not saying we don't make mistakes. But I want to tell you, the only person who can bring you freedom from being in bondage to shame and guilt is Jesus Christ. That's the truth. And it's truth all the time. When you think about the future, when you look around you, guys, look at our world right now. There's so much media and there's so much stuff going out there. How do you have faith and hope for the future? You need to be saved. It's only in encountering Jesus. You see, when you make decisions daily, you need salvation. You need Him. You need more than just what's inside of you. So it's not a threat. It's not a threat what Jesus said. It's all about knowing Him. It's all about knowing Him. You see, that's the key to everything, because Jesus said this in John 8:12. I am light to the world. You need light. You need answers. You need wisdom. How do you raise children in this world? How do you deal with, in this world? It's Him. And I love the Fashion Translation when he translated it this way. I highlighted it. He didn't. Those who embrace me. You see, what Jesus said was, the people who don't know me are going to experience hell on earth and hell in the future. It's knowing Him. It's daily experiencing Him. It's what I talked about a few weeks ago, being with Him. Listen, I don't want to face Jesus in the future, which we all are, and Him to say, you didn't know me. Remember that day, Monday morning, when you got up and you were a little grouchy and you were biting people? You didn't know me then. You remember that day when you had to make financial decisions about your future? Did you know me when you were making that decision, or did you make that decision alone? When you're watching the news, are you watching the news with Jesus or just with your little pea brain, which is just like my pea brain? You see, it's knowing Him is what changes the world. And those who embrace Him, those who know Him, I believe when Danny would call me, what he was doing was having an experience with Jesus, encountering Him, a relationship with Him, and His love overflowed onto me, and it changed my life through a landline telephone, believe it or not. They used to have these things called wires. You had to put a dime back then. You had to put a dime in the telephone to talk to Danny. It's crazy. And still, somehow, the life he experienced got on me. Got on me. got in me. His embracing the light of the world did something. And when you experience Him, you'll never walk in darkness. Depression, anxiety, angers, addiction, rage, murder. When you know Him, that stuff goes away. It's all by knowing Him. You know, there's too much at stake, guys, for you. There's too much at stake in our lives for me not to know Him every day. I need to experience that power in my life, that transformation, that resurrection in my life all the time. And when you do, people are going to laugh at you the same way they laughed at Danny in that church that day. But those people didn't know that that little short guy changed my life. And many, many, many lives since then. Thousands because of Him. Now, He's in heaven. I was mad at Him for about 25 years, but I forgave Him for going to heaven before me, but I'm a bigger man. That was sarcasm. Got it? Listen, is it possible, guys? I stole this saying from a pastor that I respect a lot, but is it possible to live life right now, for you guys to leave here this morning and to live life in such a way that you never have any regrets? Is that possible? Listen, somebody gave me a poster one time, and I still have it in my office on my desk, and this is the truth. Listen, when my time on earth is up and St. Peter's shutting that gate to get into heaven, I want to slide in right under that gate at the last second, totally worn out, totally used up, completely played out, and screaming at the top of my lungs, "Wow, what a ride." That's how I want to end this thing. Now, that doesn't mean you're perfect. Is it possible to live in such a way that you don't have any regrets? Could you imagine that the only key to that is knowing Him? It's knowing Him. Knowing Him. All the time, all the time. What are you going to wear tomorrow? Well, I want to know Jesus when I make that decision. Because, you know, I'm a fashion icon, and people pay attention to that, and it like matters, you know? Not. I wear what I'm told to every day. I wish I had a uniform. Like, I think pastors should wear scrubs. With more pockets. They don't have much pockets. So Camille's like, no. I'm like, okay. But in my mind, it's easy. But guys, okay, here's the deal. Y'all remember 12 years ago, we lost someone to cancer here, a young man, Mason Gonzalez. And some of you might have been here. You've heard of him. Some of the kids that are getting married soon knew him well. Mason lived that way. I don't know what happened. Now, I knew Mason since he was like first grade. He was an awkward little boy. And I remember his family was sort of a typical family. Not really typical. But anyway, Mason, his mom, Judy, asked me to go to Grandparents' Day with him a couple of times. Did he ask you to do it too, Harvey? Grandparents' Day, you know, elementary school, that you go to grandparents, you eat lunch. And so he was third or fourth grade, and Judy asked me to go to Grandparents' Day with Mason. And so I took off work, and I showed up at the school, and Mason's there. And he wore these big black rubber glasses because he kept breaking his glasses, you know. And I meet him at the school, and we're going to go to lunch. And he's so full of energy and life. Like, he's talking to everybody, and everybody knew him. Like, he was sort of infamous, famous. They were like, "Oh, he's that kid." Yeah, he's that kid. I'm like, okay, we're going. I mean, he knows the maintenance people. He knows the principals, the secretaries, all the teachers, all the kids. And I'm just sort of, I'm not embarrassed, but I'm just like, I'm holding his little hand. And he's so excited because we're going to go eat lunch. And guess what they're having for lunch that day? Green beans. He was so excited. I'm like, okay. And we get to the lunchroom, and all the lunch ladies are like, he's their favorite kid. And I'm with him. So they give him a plate of green beans because they know that's his favorite food. And these, now when my mom worked in the lunchroom and cafeterias. They homemade everything. It wasn't like that with Mason. These were out of the big cans, you know, this green beans. And I'm with Mason, so guess what? They gave me a whole bunch of green beans. You know, it's funny. Everybody knew Mason because Mason would engage everybody. That's how you know somebody. He would engage everybody. And y'all know I remember how old he was when he passed away. 12? 11? 14? Oh my gosh. But he was our favorite. He was everybody's favorite. He never met a stranger. He never met anybody he didn't love. Little naive boy. And he impacted the world. Guys, knowing Jesus is what it's all about. And you know Jesus by spending time with him. It happens. You know, it's all present tense. When he says, I'm the light of the world and those who embrace me, you embrace him and you keep on embracing him with no ending. That's what that means. It's present tense from now to forever. And I think so many of us came to know the Lord. We were given a rule book to go with it, but we were never, ever really led into a relationship that turned us into somebody who's so silly that we're happy even when nobody else is happy. You see, I think Mason had that kind of relationship with God. And I was with him when he passed away in the room. Some of you were there too. And he went to the Lord. He was okay. Most of us weren't, but he was okay. And I believe it's really true today. You embrace Jesus. You embrace God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and you keep on embracing. You embrace and you keep embracing. So being saved, what does it mean to be saved? It means to make that decision to embrace, and you keep embracing him. And so we talk about that a lot here. It's being saved is not a once and done event. It's a life. Spending time with Jesus, with him, right? Submission is an ongoing process of being with him. Submission is not becoming a robot. It's not becoming disenfranchised from God and becoming a in a club or something. It's with him. It's like, and you know the crazy thing? If I'm in the Elvis Presley fan club. Are any of you guys in that? I've never met him. And some people think he's still alive. I don't. But anyway, no, I don't know Elvis Presley. It's not a club. It is not a Jesus club. It's a man that you can know personally. Every single one of us can. Submission is not becoming a robot. There's a unique merging of you and God. So how do you spend time with Jesus? How do you do it? It's going to be different for everybody. It's absolutely different. So this morning, Dwayne, would you help Marceline get up here? She's going to come up here. Yeah, so Marceline, you guys, David and Kelly know her really well. Yeah, y'all got to let her out. She's in the middle of the aisle. If you don't know her, get to know her. She's very easy to talk to. And if you need advice, she has 93 years of it that she can give. She was born in outside of Des Arc, out in the boonies, you know, we're out past Des Arc, the swamps, and she is a joy, and she's a star. Yeah, bring her on up here if you can. I know you can. She's in amazing, amazing physical. Yeah, hold on. We'll get Harvey to help you. He's way younger than you are. Okay, Marceline, I just asked her, she didn't think you guys would want to know, but I asked her to share with us ways that she spends time with Jesus. You good?
Okay.
Okay, you got to talk in the thing, yeah.
Oh, okay, I'm going to do my best, and my best might not be good enough for you, but I think the Lord will accept it. And since I've come to the Lord, I have learned so much, and in the last few years, it's just continually helped me to grow and grow and grow in him.
Yeah.
And I think one of the scriptures that I stand on so much is, if you continue in my word, you are my disciple indeed. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free.
Amen.
That scripture means so much to me. And Harvey is our Bible study leader. And my, we have some of the best studies you've ever been in. And it continues to help us grow. Every week he always said, we've been studying 2 Timothy. And every week he'll say, now this is the way we should be living our lives. He tells us all, this is the way we should be living our lives. But you know what? This is an individual affair. We have to walk this walk ourselves.
Yeah.
It's for us. I can't walk yours. You can't walk mine.
That's right.
And when we learn to really live on, be committed to Jesus, well, we've learned a big lesson. And there's more to it than just saying, I've committed to the Lord. It's a whole new life. Because he said, when we commit ourselves to him, when we are born of the Spirit, we are a new creation.
Yeah.
Everything is new. We're starting a new life.
Yeah.
A new life in him. It's nothing like what we've come through this far. It's new from here this way. And we put all old things behind us. And we don't remember those old things and bring them up. We have to remember and we have to study his word to know what his truth is. And we pray, Lord, help us to understand what we're reading. In Ephesians, he tells us he will pray the Father that he would give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. Okay, there's a lot of word, a lot of scriptures in there talking about the knowledge of God. We've got to learn. And the more we learn about God, the more we can trust him. And in Galatians, he tells us the fruit of the Spirit and the
deeds of the flesh.
Yes. And if you'll read that, you'll know, because the deeds of the flesh are after the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit are following Christ. And I remember a Bible study we went through with Harvey here about, it might have been 6 years ago. I don't remember, but it was a Bible study. We had some tapes of Alan Vincent's, and I learned through those tapes the division of the Spirit and the flesh. If you can ever get the division of the Spirit and the flesh, you're on your way. You're on your way to victory.
Yeah.
Because without faith, we're not going to get those things. And because he said if we're born of love, I've heard pastors say you have to practice love. But you don't have to practice love. If you're born of love, you've got love.
Yeah. That's right. It's good, Marcia.
And I had all kinds of things. Just give me a second. It'll come.
Yeah.
You know what? I thought when I got up here, I thought if I talk real slow, I might last 2 minutes, but I can't talk real slow.
That's true.
But I do enjoy the presence of the Lord. And when we have worship, I have to know what we're singing. I have to know. And the songs that glorify God, that inward man in me just eats it up.
Yeah, come on.
I tell you. And I shut my eyes when we're singing because there's commotion going on. And it pulls me to the side. But I close my eyes when I'm singing, and I love the praises of the Lord.
Amen.
It pulls it out of you when they're singing, when the songs glorify the Lord. It just pulls the praises out of you. And I try to keep my mind, and Harvey's always told me, keep your mind stayed on Jesus. He said, get all this other stuff out of your mind and just focus on God. When you do that, you're on your way to victory.
Yeah, come on.
But it's harder to do than just saying, I believe. But when I'm sitting out on the porch, I look at the trees. I look at, I hear a bird. I'll say, okay, Father, I hear your little critter.
Yeah.
And I just enjoy the presence of the Lord. And I look all around me and I see what He has made. It's all made for our good.
Yeah.
We get our houses from the trees. There's nothing been made that God didn't already have here.
That's right.
And He put it here for man, but He put it here for our good. A lot of it's been used for the bad part, but He put it here for our good. So we have to praise and thank Him for the good that we get out of it. And I think that's all I can think of. But
there
is so many scriptures.
Yeah. Standing ovation. Can you see a standing ovation? No, she can't. Let's give her a standing ovation. Y'all mind? They're so excited.
And I enjoy every one of you people that are here. And I thank the Lord for you every day. I'm just so glad I'm able to come out to church every Sunday.
Amen.
And every morning I get up, I say, thank you, Lord, for letting me be able to put my feet on the floor and walk. So just continue to pray for me and remember me in your prayers.
All right. Come on. All right, Dwayne. Thank you. Thanks, Donald. Yeah, you may have to help Dwayne, actually. that I knew she could preach. I knew she could. In her background, that wasn't. And she knows every hymn there is in the book. So, and she worships with us crazy people. These songs I've never heard of either, Marceline. But I love them when they lift up the Lord. Thank you. I know she's talking about her 80-year-old Sunday school teacher. And I'm like, you know, we do have young people here too. We do. But I love it, the fact, she didn't live in Des Arc. She wasn't a city girl. Like, that's a city. She lived out in the boonies. And she met Jesus, and she's never walked back. She's never turned back. You know, so I need to ask you that question. You see, the truth is, Jesus is the match that lights the fire in us. It's like, we're the candle. He's the match. And you know what happens? It's funny. I think we say that over and over and over again. How you embrace Jesus, how you are with Jesus. Marceline does it her way. I do it my way. You do it your way. But the key is doing it. Because you know what happens if you get too close to fire? You'll catch on fire. It's just true. You can't help it. If your life is a mess, if your life is upside down, if you're hopeless, if you don't see a future, you need to be closer, get closer to the fire. He's the answer. He really is the light of the world. And I think that we forget, you know, and the truth is, if you get too close, you better watch out because you will catch on fire. It's just a fact that happens. And I believe Marceline's a great example of that for our lives today. You know, the truth is, that's the good news. You see, Jesus really is the light of the world. In Mark chapter 1, it says this, after John was put in prison, Jesus' cousin, who eventually was beheaded for the gospel, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news. The time's come, He said. The kingdom of God is near. It's now. We're not waiting for the future for the kingdom to come. 2,000 years ago, Jesus brought the kingdom of God. And you can experience the same life in Jesus in you today just by being with Him. Just by following Him. It's inevitable when you spend time with Him, Jesus does come. And guys, it's funny, when I study that and I look at it, I used to have some crazy ideas about it, and now I'm beginning to understand that what Jesus said is really true. So listen, if you've come to the end of your rope, if you've discovered all the self-help programs don't work, if you've tried chemicals, illegal, it doesn't matter, substances, and you're finding out the truth that they don't work either. If you've tried chasing after silver and gold, power, money, prestige, fame, guess what? You find they're all empty. When you come to the end, you find that there is only one source of life on earth, and His name is Jesus Christ. And when you're 93 years old, you could stand up on a stage and say, listen, I followed Him, and I'm going to tell you it was good. There's no better life to be had than trying to follow Jesus, being with Him. And I mean it. When I say try, I mean try. Because I want to tell you, sometimes I was famous in school just like little Mason was, and it wasn't really for good reasons. I was that kid too. Well, you know what? I was around the principal a lot, so he knew me well. And the teachers knew me too. They talked about my sisters coming to their class, and they were so excited. They talked more about me coming to their class. And they weren't that excited about it. You know, it's like, it's being with God. That's how you know Him. And that's how He knows you. And so you'll never, when you get to heaven, He'll say, oh God, Tommy got in so much trouble. He was constantly asking me to get him out of trouble. I did this, he did that. He was always talking to me. Guess what? God knows him. You see, I think sometimes we think it's more than just a relationship. We think it's the opposite. Salvation comes to those who figure out they can't save themselves. And they believe in the power of what Jesus did. He made us right with God. And the moment you start believing Jesus made you right with God, your life begins to transform. And it changes everything. You see, that's what salvation is. Jesus said, the time's come, it's now. The kingdom of God is near. It's time for you to change the way you think. Stop thinking that you can do it yourself and start trusting Him. Stop thinking that you have to perform and you have to do all this stuff and start believing in your relationship with Him. That's what repentance is. It's a change of the way you think. And I believe that that's what's happening. God is ready now. So all you need to do is repent. Repent for trying to make yourself good enough. Repent for trying to earn His love. Change the way you think. I trust what you did, Jesus. I believe. I've got faith in you. And when you do that, you're saved. You're one of those people. Every time, from then on, every time, every day, all the time, you go to Him. You talk to Him. You relate to Him. You try to follow Him, and He'll take you, and like a child, He'll guide you from being a crawling to toddling to walking to running. You see, Jesus wants to walk life with you, and that brings joy. Marceline quoted the scripture. She don't get in a Bible trivia game with her. You will lose. And He brings you joy. What do you get when you're with Him? Joy. As a matter of fact, this is my personality. It's like this. I say we don't go any farther until everyone in this room gets joy. So quit doing anything else. Until you get joy, nothing else matters. That would be a good goal. How do you get joy? Trying to follow Jesus. Bug him to death, and you'll find that He smiles whenever you walk up to Him in the hallways. He'll smile tomorrow morning when you're asking Him for the 27th time to help you. He'll smile because He loves you. You see, what happens now? Because this really is the truth. John chapter 1, verse 3. Through Him, Jesus, all things were made. He understands technology. He understands relationships. He understands harmonies. He understands how to raise a garden and how to raise animals. He knows everything. So where would you go to find the answers? Him. And then he'll direct you where you need to be. Some of you need to go to college. Some of you need to get help from somebody else. God knows everything, right? So it says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that's been made, has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. You see, he really is the power. Now, what now? What about when you've discovered life? You've discovered life with him, and you're experiencing that life. What do you do now? You do what Danny did. He said he loved me. Why'd he do that? I wish I could ask him. I get to heaven, I think I'll ask him. So I'm like, because I sure wasn't receiving it, and I wasn't a pleasant person to say that to. Why'd he keep doing it? I'm assuming he was doing it because of his relationship with the Lord. That's why he was doing it. God put it in his heart to tell me that. You know, the truth is, he found life, and he was sharing that life in that way with me. He never once told me about Jesus or his relationship with Jesus. Never mentioned it. I believe he was following the Lord. And I think in our lives, the truth is, how are you sharing Jesus? You see, because what now? What about when you find life, then what do you do? What do we do now when we found life? You know, when you read this passage out of Mark about Jesus' life, Jesus was healing people, and he went to James and John and in the home of Simon and Andrew, and Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. And now, that evening, everybody's bringing all the sick people, all the demon-possessed people, the whole town's gathering at the door to be healed. They want to get healed. They want to get delivered from demons. They want to be free. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases, the scriptures say. He drove out many demons, but he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Very early in the morning, the next morning, before anybody, the crowds had gathered, Jesus got up and he left the house and he went off to a solitary place because he needed to pray. He needed to spend time with his dad. He just went to talk to him. We get all this weird thinking. No, he went to talk to his dad because that's how he lived. And when he's talking to his dad, he comes back and he said this really strange thing. See, if it had been me, we'd have started having camp meetings. We'd have built a big tent and we'd have had the whole region coming and having healing meetings, right? Jesus didn't do that. He said, listen, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. Get the religious idea of preach out of your head. The word just means share something with somebody. That's all it means. He said, I want to go there and share. That's why I've come. You see, I think we need to understand, after we experience life, our destiny, our inheritance, is to share the life that we have. We share where to find life. We preach. We just share. Where do you find life? Well, you find life when you quit trying to make yourself good enough and you trust Jesus. You quit trying to make your relationship with God and you trust Jesus. That's where salvation comes from. And then, you know where life comes from? You encourage people not to go buy gas at the cheapest gas station. You encourage people to look to Jesus for their problems, for the answer to their problems. For every area in their life, you encourage them to go to the same place you go. You see, we're here on earth for the same reason Jesus. We're here to share the good news. And there is good news. There's supernatural life available today. You know, we have it in us. You know, with what's going on at Uvalde and in the world, the war and environment, the government, the political, the economical stuff in the world. It's like, I know we're created this way. We all like to talk about that stuff, right? You may want to come today. On some churches, I'm sure they're going, they're wanting to hear their pastor pontificate on something about the tragedy in Uvalde. And it's horrible tragedy. I'm pretty familiar with that area. been there many times to Uvalde, believe it or not. It's not really a Mecca. It's a hunting place. That's why I was there. But, you know, there's an answer for all of those issues. There's an answer for your life, and there's an answer for our political climate. There's an answer for the murder. And we all have answers. We all want to talk about our suggestions for how to fix the world, you know. I'm thinking Marceline should be the next president. That would fix a lot of stuff. Yeah, Tyler, don't tell. I didn't say, I'm kidding, Marceline. Tyler told her I said that. But you see, we have answers. But do you know there's one answer? You know what will change that horrible thing where people are going and doing mass murders? It's not fear and it's not control. What will change that is the gospel. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Romans 1:16. It's the power of God for salvation. Do you know that a relationship with God is what changes us on the inside? And if you want to see the world change, change the individuals. Change one person at a time, and you'll see the entire world changed. It's the answer to everything. Now, what that answer looks like, it'll look like ideas in government we've never had before, because a man or a human and God are going to come together, and that is going to light a fire that's going to change the government. You and God coming together is going to start a fire that will change your world. Us and God coming together will change the environment where those things won't happen anymore, where mental health issues will go away, where addictions will go away, where anger and rage will go away, prejudice and judging the world by color and sex and all this other stuff, that's going to all go away through the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's the answer to what happened in Uvalde. Not fear, not control, Jesus. You see, but you have an opportunity to bring him into the picture all the time. Not just for those big issues, all the time. That's preaching the gospel. And you know what? Did they laugh at Jesus? Yep. Did they reject him? Yep. Will you be well accepted because you won't look scientific and you won't look intelligent and you won't have this huge ability? Guys, I'm sorry. I just don't have the ability to talk like that. So I'm not going to get up and talk like that. You know how you change the government? By the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, what's good decisions? I don't know. The people in those places, the government officials, they need to be in relationship with God, and then they'll have the right answers for the government. And the educators need to have relationship with God, and they'll have the right answer for education. And the economic people need to have a relationship with God, and they'll be able to bring our economy into the right place. But you know what? It'll change the world. But the truth is, there's only one person in this room that you can control their relationship with God, and that's you. That's me. And guys, this week, make a commitment. I'm going to spend more time with Jesus this week. And it'll change. It'll change your life. And when your life changes, your family changes, our community changes, our state changes, our nation changes, and the world changes. And it's called the gospel. And Jesus brought it to earth 2,000 years ago, one person. One man, fully man, inhabited by the Holy Spirit. One man, 2,000 years later, is over 2.5 billion people. Because Jesus shared the good news everywhere he went. We're here to share the good news. Now, what that looks like with you is going to be different than what it looks like with me. But we all have a part to play. But the fire comes from him. So I just want to encourage you this week. You make a commitment to spend more time with Jesus this week than you did last week. I don't know what you're going to do. Some of you like worship music. Some of you study scripture all the time. Some of you go out and talk to people. I don't know how you, like Marceline, isn't that crazy? She hears Jesus in the bird tweeting. I've seen Jesus in animals, right? You need salvation when you're hurting, and I've seen animals with, I don't know how it works, okay? I'm getting into almost heresy here, but I'm telling you, Jesus can use anything on earth that he's created to bring life to us. And it's him. It's always him. So this morning, if you want to know Jesus, it'd be a good day to make that decision. God, I'm going to quit trying to do it myself, and I'm going to trust you. What you did, Jesus, has brought me in relationship with God. And it's all Jesus. So let's stand up, if you can. Listen, we've got people who are 90 years old standing up, so I think you can do it, maybe. Hi, Lisa. We're going to have people up here to pray with you. The communion table's still open. I encourage you. It's a way to encounter the Lord, just taking communion. And so you can go do that anytime you want to, before the service or during worship or after the service. And if you would want someone to pray with you this morning, we have two teams up here, and they would love to pray with you. Physical illness, pain. If you want to follow Jesus, and you, this would be a good day to do it. These guys would love to pray with you this morning. So thank you for sharing your holiday weekend with us. I told Donald thank you already for bringing your dad. I could tell y'all so many stories about Mr. Turner. Do you guys remember being teenage boys, like 13, 14-year-old? We cussed a lot, but never in front of Mr. Turner, ever. So we go to Heber. He won't remember this. One day we go to Heber. He's taking us there to camp out, the Heber Springs, Gears Ferry. And the boys, all me and the other boys, we're out playing this game in the woods at night when you used to do that stuff. And we all get together, a little group, and we're cussing like sailors. And then somebody's in the tree above us, and he goes, and it was Mr. Turner. I thought we were going to die. I don't think we got in trouble for it, but whoo, that was a bad day. That was a bad day. Why was he in that tree? I don't know. He did stuff like that. Anyway, say hi to him if you want to on the way out, and he's my friend. And Mr. Turner, I don't know if you ever met my Daniel, who I named after Danny. He's up in the sound booth. He'll say hi to Daniel. You can say hi to Mr. Turner on the way out. He's up there. So, Father, I just thank you for today, and I thank you for worship and how you spoke to us and brought us into your presence. And, Lord, I just thank you for the gospel, that it's good news, that you have invited us into your family, and that you want to do life with us forever. I just thank you for that, King. So if you're here this morning and you have decided you want to follow Jesus, I encourage you to come up here and let these guys pray with you, and we'll help you in that journey, okay? So thank you for coming. God bless you guys. You're dismissed.